I was listening to Pastor from Progressive now, Charlie Dates, and he talked about the great theologian. He's now passed away. Joy and Pain.
Frankie Beverly.
The great theologian, Frankie Beverly. He says joy and pain is like. It come with it. It come with it. It come with it. Psalm 33, stand please as we read the word of God. I'm only going to read a few verses into your hearing, but at some point we're going to cover the whole psalm in its entirety within the next couple of weeks. Amen. Just a moment, when you get done with that, just grab that. All right, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous!" Exclamation point. "For praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth." I'm going to stop right there. Rejoice in the Lord. And I do want to share with you for the next couple of weeks, just from the topic of this is who we are. You'll get it as we begin the conversation. This is who we are. I was I like history, and I was watching I was watching the movie called La Amistad. And in the movie La Amistad, I believe the main character, her name was Cinque. And Cinque and some of his people were captured, and they were in between captors. And so somehow they went from the Spanish captors, they was bringing them into America. And so Cinque and them say, "Well, we ain't going." So they revolted. And when they revolted, you know, they took over the ship. And so they made the captain and then the navigator, they kept them alive to make sure they took them back to Africa. Well, the captain and the navigator kind of fooled them, and they ended up, you know, in America. And so, but in America, they began to fight for their freedom. And so as they were fighting for their freedom, this lawyer came, and the lawyer, he practiced law in a sense of commodities and all. And so, long story short, the lawyer, you know, eventually was able to argue the case before them and got them free. But then, of course, the president of the United States said that they couldn't be free. And so then what happened is they hired another judge to oversee another case. And when they hired a judge to oversee another case, that same judge, the other judge, set them free. So President Steele wasn't satisfied, so then he took it to the Supreme Court because he figured the Supreme Court was going to be on his side. And so when he took it to the Supreme Court, then they got John Quincy Adams, former president. And so John Quincy Adams, he said, okay, he would argue the case before the Supreme Court, but he had to know who Cinque was and had to know where he came from. He had to know his story. And so he began to hear the story of Cinque. And Cinque told him his story. And so he said, by the time they got ready for court, he sat before Cinque and Cinque sat before him. And he says, now we're getting ready to go. We're getting ready to do battle with the lion. He says, and all we have is just you and I. And Cinque says, no. He says, we have my ancestors. And he says, I exist because of them. And they existed because of me. And so we're going in with my ancestors. I thought that was interesting. But then later on, John Quincy Adams, in his argument, he used that conversation. And so he said, in that conversation, he said that, well, no, I'm sorry, after they won the case, Cinque asked him, said, well, what did you say? And he told Cinque, he says, I used your words. In other words, I used the words that you said that your ancestors would speak for you and speak on your behalf. Yeah. And I thought about that, and they say, well, what does that got to do with tea in China? Well, understand something. At this point, we have to first of all know who we are. Amen. We have to know our story. And we have to know who is speaking on our behalf. And we need to understand that we have ancestors that have come before us. And as they have come before us, they have been involved with much of what's been happening even right now. And I heard a preacher say that we've been here before, and I had to correct him and say, well, no, we have not been here before, but we have been here before. If you're under 60, if you're under 70 years old, you have not been here before right now. But if you're 70 and over, you've been here. Yeah. I'm going somewhere, so just stick with me on this thing. And so I was trying to figure out, you know, how do I handle this conversation on today? Because, you know, with all that's going on around us, it's easy for us to get out of focus. It's easy for us to forget who we are. It's easy for us to forget where we come from. And it's actually easier if we've not been taught. And those who are 60 and younger, you have not really been taught who you are. And if you're 60 and under, you don't understand what it takes to get through these kind of times. Because what I realized is that we have been here before. We've been here before in the 1600s. 1619, when we were stolen and brought over here. We've been here before, even with 1691, when they decided to make the term white a legal term over Christian and Dutch and English and all the others. We've been here before when they decided to give land to those who were white, male, and Protestant, and everybody else couldn't get anything. We've been here before when they had the black codes and the slave codes. We've been here before through Jim Crow. We've been here before. In that sense, we've been here as a people before. You've not been here before. And I think it takes for us to learn from our ancestors, to learn from those who've been here before us, to understand how to get through what we are going through right now. I'll go a step further, and I'll get to my intro here in a few minutes. Well, this is part of the intro anyway. But if I don't know how many of you remember, it's called the 1877 Compromise. And in the Compromise of 1877, it was the Republican nominee for president. His name was Rutherford B. Hayes. And now he was an abolitionist. But he struck a deal because what happened is he was running, and his Democratic opponent, who was from the South, almost beat him. But he struck a deal with the Democrats from the South and said that if you elect me, what I'm going to do is I'm going to remove all the troops from the South. I'm going to put an end to this thing called restructuring. These are his words. And if you elect me, I'm going to send them back to where they were before. Uh-huh. Even though I am an abolitionist, I know my self-interest right now are way more than the interests of others. And so therefore, if you elect me, so they elected him. And when he elected him, he abolished everything that was fought for up through that time. And then that's when you started having the rise again of the KKK and the rise again of Jim Crow. And you began to have what they call the other form of slavery. In other words, it was called, when they were literally, I could literally be walking down the street. And then they can pull me off the street, Sister Hattie, if I was a person of color, and say, I owe you something, you owe me something, and therefore you're going to pay it off by going to prison. They get me in prison, they put me to work, and then I have to pay it off whatever it was they claimed that there was that I owed them, but guess what? I never paid it off. It's called convict leasing. And so we have been in a position, in a predicament before as people of color. We've been there. As a people, but we've not been here individually. And so as I was approaching today, as always, me and the Lord, we're always going back and forth, you know, and we're always, you know, I'm trying to figure this out. What is he trying to get out of this thing? Because at my initial read of Psalm 33, I wouldn't have seen a whole lot of what I'm getting ready to share with you until him and I had a conversation. Uh-huh. Homie, we had to have a conversation. And here's why, because he realized that I was gathering all kind of evidence I'm gonna share with y'all today, you know, at the end of the service about what's all been going on. You know, with all the executive orders, with them dismantling, you know, the Civil Rights Act 24, 64, the Voting Rights 65, the Equal Opportunity. I was getting ready to go. I was going to talk to about how they went and how they really started just shutting down government, how they kicking folk out, and how they all. I was going to share all that stuff with him. And he said, "Hold on, wait a minute." He said, "Let's take a trip down history lane." Yeah. He says, "When were you ever wanted here in this land?" Even when the Constitution was made, it was made without you in mind. Uh-huh. To the point where it made you 3/5 of a human being. Mm-hmm. And so he said, but understand something. But when you got here, I was here with you. Uh-huh. In the 1600s. Mm-hmm. I was here with you in the 1700s. Yeah. I was here with you in the 1800s. I was here with you in the 1900s. Yeah. I'm here with you now in the 2000s. Yeah, yeah. He said, "So I need you to pump your brakes for a minute, brother. I need to talk to you for a few minutes, and let me help you as you start looking at how did your ancestors handle what you are going through today." Yeah. So I said, "Okay, you know, you can do that thing. So okay, that's fine." And so as I began to read and understand, and I began to pray over Psalm 33. And when it says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous!" exclamation point. For praise from the upright is beautiful. Now you have to understand there's a lot of stuff going on here. But he wanted me to understand that, first of all, we live in this world of sin, and it's going to be filled with a whole lot of problems. And what's happening to us, we should really understand that it is nothing that really truly is new. We're going to have troubles as well as blessings. I was listening to Pastor from Progressive now, Charlie Dates, and he talked about the great theologian. He's now passed away. Joy and Pain. Frankie Beverly. The great theologian, Frankie Beverly. He says, joy and pain is like sunshine. It come with it. But here's what I noticed that our ancestors knew, that our foreparents knew. And I believe they focused in on Verse 5, when it says, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord.
Yes.
He didn't say the world.
Yeah, yeah.
He said the earth is full
yeah.
of the goodness of the Lord.
Yeah.
And so so as I was looking at this, and he was saying, when he said, and here when he says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. For praise from the upright is beautiful. He says, rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous. Now, everybody in the church are not righteous. I'm going to say that one more time. Everybody in the church, that's okay, I'm sure they'll cut it off, is not righteous because that term, when he says, for praise from the upright is beautiful, if you go into the Hebrew, that term, you know, is used figuratively for praise from God's people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the upright, God's people.
Yeah.
See, being righteous doesn't take on a color, a class, or a culture.
Amen.
I'm going to say that one more time just so you understand this.
Amen.
Being righteous doesn't take on a color, a class, or a culture. I say it one more time just for you to hear. Being righteous doesn't take on a color, class, or a culture.
Amen.
It takes on the heart of the Lord.
Yes.
So he says, praise also for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise from the people of God is beautiful. So when I looked at this, this is who we are. When I looked at it when it says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. And knowing that the righteous, God's people, are the one who are the righteous. Not religion. I'm going to read something from Brother Frederick Douglass. Y'all hold on for a minute. I'm only going to do an introduction today, so we're good. So Frederick Douglass, at the end of his narrative, he says something about Christianity and about religion. Yeah, hold on to your hats, because some of y'all might not like what he say. He says, what I have said respecting and against religion, I mean strictly to apply to the slaveholding religion of this land, and with no possible reference to Christianity proper. For between the Christianity of this land and the Christianity of Christ, I recognize the widest possible difference. So wide that to receive the one as good, pure, and holy is of necessity to reject the other as bad, corrupt, and wicked. To be a friend of the one, Christianity of Christ, is of necessity to be the enemy of the other,
yeah.
Christianity of the slaveholding religion. He says, and then he says, I love the pure, peaceable, and impartial Christianity of Christ. I therefore hate the corrupt, slaveholding, women whipping, cradle plundering, partial and hypocritical Christianity of this land. Indeed, I can see no reason but the most deceitful one for calling the religion of this land Christianity.
Mm. Yes.
The good thing is, I'm glad that this righteous right here is not the righteous of the land, but it's the righteousness of Christ himself. So just because you say that you are a church member doesn't actually mean you are righteous. The color of your skin does not make you righteous. The culture you belong to does not make you righteous. The class that you end up in does not make you righteous. What makes you righteous is the condition of your heart when it relates to who God is in your life. So I said all that to say a couple of things in my introduction. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Why is he saying rejoice? Because praise, y'all, for us who know it, is exceptional. Praise is exceptional.
Yeah.
Because of who praise is focused on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Praise is our foreparents, our grandparents, our parents, they knew that praise was and is exceptional.
Yes, yes.
Because of the object of your praise.
Right.
And if the object of your praise is anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ or other than Yahweh, capital L-O-R-D, if there's anything other than that, then your praise is not exceptional. Because he says, rejoice in the Lord. Because you cannot rejoice in those things going on around you, because those things that go on around you may suck the joy right out of you at point in times in your life. The people around you may suck the joy out of you at some point in time in your life. Joy and pain are like sunshine and rain. So understand that as a child of God, your praise is exceptional because your praise is focused on and in the one who is above all things, and his name is Yahweh. But not only is your praise exceptional, it is also exuberant. Because what happens is, if you focus on him who is the exceptional one, then you can't help but to be exuberant. Y'all know that word. Y'all know that word exuberant means, right? It means to be overly joyful, overly, you know. Because see, some of y'all were exuberant when Philadelphia won. Oh, y'all don't say amen because y'all don't get caught, huh? See, some of y'all were you were exuberant when your team won. You know, the championship. You're exuberant when you get some things that you like in life. You become exuberant. In other words, you get happy. And they say you get happy, glad.
Yeah.
But as one who belongs to the Lord. Because praise is not based on what's outside of you. So therefore, if the one who is inside of you is constant and consistent continually, and he's always there. So therefore, there should never be a time where praise is not exuberant, because praise is not based on your circumstance outside of you. It is based on the one who walks with you and who lives in you, who never changes. See, that's why I like the black church. I'm going to talk about it in a few minutes, though. Because it teaches me that despite who I am and what I look like. See, that's what Frederick Douglass said, what he said about the church. Because he realized, you know why there is a black church and a white church.
Yeah,
I do know that, right?
Yes.
Not because we said we wanted a black church and a white church, Sister Hattie. There's a black church and a white church because the white folks said that they didn't want to worship together with us.
Right.
And they held back our worship.
Yeah.
See, there is a Southern Baptist Convention and a National Baptist Convention because the Southern Baptists did not want the black Baptists worshiping with them.
Yeah.
AME, same thing. So it's not, so the black church is not because we just wanted to be separate. The black church was created so that we could worship God how we knew how to worship him. And that, and to help us understand that our color did not get in the way of our worship, even though we were told that it would. Yeah, walk me on this thing. I know you don't want to hear this, but you got to be able to, because if we don't teach you from this pulpit, you will never find out what is going on.
Yes, God.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
I don't bemoan, you know, the multicultural. Y'all go ahead and do your thing, but all I know is that if it had not been for the black church, the people who look like you and I wouldn't be sitting in these seats right now. I had to get that out of my chest. Okay. So praise is exceptional But it's also exuberant because of who you focus on. But as I was saying before I got a little bit sidetracked, but our forefathers, our ancestors knew, you know, that the Lord was who he said he was, no matter as a matter of fact, I was reading a slave manual a while ago, and in a slave journal it said that, you know, master say the Lord, he said, the Lord. Master say the Lord say my color is a curse. But the Lord say, he look at the inside and not the outside. Because they understood that I can't depend on what's outside of me, but I know the one who is inside of me, he is a constant, he is never ending. And so therefore my praise should be exuberant, because whatever I've gone through in life, But then also, you know, when he says, rejoice in the Lord, all you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful, the praise is also expected.
Yes, yes.
Okay, I'm probably not even finished this intro, but I need to share something with y'all. See, you know, remember I was telling you about, I love the evolution of praise and worship. I love the evolution, you know, from gospel. I mean, I love the evolution of music in the black church. I love the evolution of it. But if I listen to my ancestors, and the reason why praise should be expected is because the object of our praise is the one who doesn't change. Come on, Lord Yahweh himself, who walks with me, as the old folks say, who talks with me, who tells me that I'm his own. See, y'all would know that if you didn't understand that praise is expected because of who he is. But in the songs of yesterday, we don't know the songs of yesterday. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on. Let me see. See, the young folk, they ain't seen that moment. Let me stand. He says, I'm tired. I am weak. I am worn. Come on now. Through the storm and through the night. See, they knew that nighttime was that. They knew storms were gonna come. They knew that thing was gonna happen in life. But because of the precious Lord in their life, there was an expectation of praise based on who he is. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, y'all see the young folk, they don't see that. I'm looking at it. They don't see that. See, they say, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry. Y'all don't miss that day. What a privilege to carry. What? Everything to the Lord in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. What needless. Don't miss this. What needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to the Lord in prayer. I ain't done yet. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus, on Christ, the side of the rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the rock, solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Time is filled with swift transition. Not on earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in him who will not leave you whatsoever years may bring. If my earthly friends forsake me, still more closely to him cling. I ain't done yet. Like a ship tossed, driven and driven, battered by an angry sea, when the storms of life are raging, and their fury falls on me. I wonder what it is I have done that makes this race so hard to run. Then my soul take courage. The Lord will make a way. Somehow, yeah, the Lord will make a way. Somehow, when beneath the cross I bow, he will take away the sorrow. Let him have your burdens. Now, y'all know about that stuff right there. We are often tossed and driven on this restless sea of time. Summer skies, howling tempests, off for see the bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mists have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. I love the Lord. He heard my cry and pitied every groan. Long as I live and trouble rise, I'll hasten. See, y'all young folks don't know that. I'll hasten. I ain't gonna wait. I will hasten. I'm not gonna ask mama or daddy. I'm not gonna consult my bank account. I will hasten. I'm not gonna talk to the politicians. I will hasten to his throne. I love the Lord. He heard my cry and chased my grief away. Oh, let my heart no more despair while I have breath to pray. Praise is expected.
Yes.
It's expected because of who your focus is on.
Yes.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I've already come. Come on, y'all.
Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God.
Yes, Jesus.
Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous. You don't think this, do you think all that's happening has snuck up on the Lord? Do you think this clown in the White House and the clown next to him in the White House, do you think that all this have snuck up on him? Do you think all the hell that you're getting ready to experience and go through have snuck up on God? You better learn from your ancestors. Because there was a point in time where there was no Civil Rights Act. There was a point in time where there was no Voting Rights Act. There was a point in time where there was no DEI. There was a point in time where just the very color of your skin had you as strange fruit hanging from the tree somewhere. There was a time. But it says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise comes from the upright. It's beautiful. We're going to stop right there because that's just the introduction. I didn't get to my last few points of the introduction. You got to know who you are. And your color doesn't define you. Your culture doesn't define you. Your class does not define you. Your Christ defines you.